Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Portland podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. We come together on Sunday as one church in two locations in Northeast Portland and North Portland. Come join us at one of our gatherings. For times, how to find us, and more information, visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org. We look forward to worshiping with you. Here's this week's talk.
Well, good morning, you guys. It is really nice to see you today. I'm excited to open up God's Word. I love what Tim said. He said that when we open God's Word, we really expect to hear from Him. And that's my expectation when I come up here and open God's Word and teach. And that's my hope, that He'll speak to each and every one of us today. I have to start off, though. I need to make a confession to you. This last week, I was on Facebook, and there was a post that somebody else had put up that made my skin just crawl. And that never happens to you, I know, when you're on Facebook, but my skin was crawling, and you guys, it was just off. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's just off, and it's like you feel like you're the beacon of truth in that moment. If you step in and you just put yourself out there. I was feeling these emotions, this urge to shine light on crazy, and it was all of this. You know, I was feeling all of this, and I think sometimes when we walk through life and we think about putting ourselves out there, and we think about free speech, and we think about the things that we have the right to do, and maybe the things we just feel compelled to do. I think very often we think of that as we associate that with living well. I have these freedoms. I can do whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. I can smoke whatever I want. I can drink whatever I want. I can wear whatever I want. I can post whatever I want. And with these freedoms, we sort of think if I live into those, that's actually what it means to live well. And what's so fascinating about Jesus is that He takes that idea and He turns it upside down. He turns it on its head. Jesus actually takes us in a different direction. He says it's not primarily about you living well. It's about you helping other people live well. And as I was thinking about posting my response on Facebook, I just thought, this is not going to be good for people if I do this. This isn't best. God gives us freedom, and when we think about freedom, it really resonates with us. But the reason that God gives us freedom is not to help ourselves live well, it's to help others live well. That's what we're talking about today in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I am thinking about this series and the cross, the crown, and the call to love. Today we're really going to be looking at how the crown, Jesus as our king, and how the call to love are really intertwined. They go hand in hand. Jesus is a king who calls his subjects, those of us who follow him, those of us who trust him, to be people who our primary filter is the filter of love. The filter of, is this what I'm about to do? Is this actually helping other people live well? Am I taking my freedom and am I using it to bless other people? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to be starting with verse 23. Listen to how Paul, the apostle, addresses this little church in Corinth. Verse 10:23. I have the right to do anything. He's quoting them. He says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. I have the right to do anything. He's actually quoting, he's repeating the same phrase that the people in Corinth had said to him, but they actually probably got the saying from him. So they heard him say it, then they said it back, and then now he's repeating it back to them. They were kind of exchanging this. It was a bit of a slogan that the people in Corinth were using. In fact, a few chapters earlier, we looked at this a few weeks ago, Tim taught on how we can honor God with our bodies. And it's actually the same quote. I have the right to do anything. In that context, a few verses ago, or a few chapters ago, it was about, I can do anything I want with my body. And in this context, it's actually a little bit different. He's not talking about just things that are good for you. He's actually looking at it through the lens of whether or not it's good for other people. Just because you have the liberty to do something, just because you have the freedom to do something, it doesn't mean that it's a good idea. It doesn't mean that you should necessarily do it. Like, take an example. Painting your house a crazy color. Right? I drive by this house just about every day, and it's in my neighborhood, and the person who owns the house has decided that he or she, I don't know who lives there, has the right to paint every wall of the house a different color, every exterior wall a different color. And if you're here today, I'm sorry, I'm throwing you under the bus right now, but but it's like one side is bright green and one side is bright purple and one side is it's like a day glow blue and yellow trim. It honestly looks like it's right out of a Dr. Seuss book. That's how it looks to me. I expect when I drive by that somebody would be out, you know, on the porch holding a platter of green eggs and ham, kind of a thing. And do you like them? Do you like them, Sam? I am. You know, I mean, it's crazy. And this person has every right. You can paint your house ugly if you want to. You have the freedom to do that. But have you thought about the person who lives across the street? Have you thought about their property value plummeting? Have you thought through this? Think about the people around you before you go Dr. Seuss on your neighbors. This is what Paul is talking about, how our actions, how the things that we have freedom to do impact other people. Followers of Christ have an obligation to others, and Jesus summarized this. He actually summed it up. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor is any person who is in your orbit, people that you like, people that you don't like, people who believe, people who don't believe, people who are in your orbit, people who you are aware that they're there, people that you may not even be aware of. Love your neighbor as yourself. That was the clear teaching of Jesus. When what you do with your freedom does harm to people in your orbit, you've actually missed the point of freedom entirely. You've missed the point. Jesus gives us freedom. He gives us freedom so that we can willingly lay it down for the benefit of others, not to bully our way into getting what we want. Some of us have really never thought of this before. This has never really crossed our minds. I'm talking about people who are Christians, believers. We Christians, some of us have never actually connected the choices we make with the impact that we have on other people. We haven't thought about whether or not it's actually good for them or whether it's helping them live well or not. We primarily think of ourselves. We say things like, I thought if the Bible didn't prohibit it, then I'm free to do it. That's, for some of us, about the extent of how our thinking has been on this. But the real issue here is not whether or not the Bible prohibits it and you can do whatever you want. The real issue is actually, am I putting the good of others ahead of myself before I make this decision? One of the filters that we have to run our decisions through is whether or not the Bible prohibits it or condones it. That's clearly a step that we have to take, but there's another step. And it's just as important, if not more important. Is this choice that I'm about to make good for the people around me? This is about our heart. It's about letting go of our freedom to benefit somebody else. There's a very specific example here that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 10, and it has to do with food. It has to do with what the Corinthians were eating. Corinth was a pagan city. It was polytheistic. They worshipped many gods, many idols. They worshipped stone idols and little metal statues and hunks of wood, and demonic things were involved in this, and it was just very, very pagan. And what they would do is they would go to these various temples in Corinth, and they would offer a sacrifice. They would offer an animal, and after the sacrifice is over, the meat would get delivered to the market, and it would be put up for sale. So there was food being sold in the marketplace that had previously been sacrificed to an idol, had been offered to an idol. And so if you were a follower of Jesus and you wanted to eat, you had to go buy your meat at a market where some of the food had been sacrificed to idols. So imagine that you're a follower of Jesus in Corinth. Put yourself back a couple thousand years. You have encountered the living God, not just a rock or some hunk of wood. You've been rescued from dead religion. That's in your rearview mirror. It's in your past. Some of you have had this experience. You were living a dead way of life. You were worshiping something other than Jesus. It could have been money. It could have been a different religion. And it was dead. And you've actually walked out of that. Imagine if you're in Corinth and you've left that. You've abandoned that. And then you go to the market and you still like steak. That didn't change when you became a follower of Jesus. You know, it tasted good before you followed Jesus, and it still tastes good. And you know you have to eat. You have to nourish yourself. So you go to the market, and some of the meat, some of the steak has been sacrificed to idols. Some of it hasn't. And you know what has, and you don't know what has, and you don't know what hasn't. You're not aware of that. They don't have a labeling system. They don't have a certified organic, certified non-idol. That doesn't exist. There are no stamps on the meat. So you want to honor God. You want to leave behind your old dead religion, and you've got concerns about eating meat sacrificed to one of those idols that you used to pay homage to. Here's what Paul says. You are free to eat whatever meat you want. Whatever you can buy, buy it. Don't sweat it. Don't fuss about it. Don't worry it. Buy it. Take it home. Throw it on your Traeger. Eat it. You know, that's the specific example that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 10. Look at the text, verse 25. He says, eat anything sold in the market without raising questions of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The earth is the Lord's and everything. So what he's doing is he's actually taking seriously this verse that actually came from the book of Psalms. The earth is the Lord and everything's in it. He's basically saying none of that meat really belongs to those idols. A hunk of metal has no claim on that meat. Only God does, the one true God, the living God. So act like that. You're free to eat. It's God's meat. Take it home, eat it, cook it up. That's a specific example of the kind of freedom that we have as followers of Jesus. Then he continues on this topic of food. Look at verse 27. He says, if an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice to an idol, then don't eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I'm referring to the other person's conscience, not yours. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews or Greeks or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So there's a new scenario Paul presents here. You're that same follower of Jesus. You're living in Corinth. You've been rescued from this old dead religion. And you're following Jesus now. But now imagine that you're invited to a dinner party along with a couple of other people from the church, from your church. And the person who invites you guys over for dinner is actually a non-believing person. They still worship those old idols. They're still stuck in that old religion. They invite you over for dinner, and they put a beautiful steak down in front of you. This is a really hard talk for vegetarians. I apologize. They put a really beautiful steak down in front of you, and what do? You eat it, right? You're free. You're free to eat that steak. Eat whatever they put in front of you. If they put a glass of wine in front of you, you're free to drink that glass of wine. Free. Freedom. But then the scenario changes, right? Somebody at the table leans over to you and says, hey, this meat was sacrificed to idols. Then what do? We don't eat it. He switches it around. The scenario changes. He actually says here, if you know that food has been sacrificed to idols, don't eat it. But it's not because your conscience doesn't allow you to eat it. It's actually because of the people around you, the people in your orbit. You actually have to think about how they're going to see you eating that once they know you know that was sacrificed to an idol, right? You follow me? So you're sitting there. You got steak juice dripping down your chin. You know it's been sacrificed to an idol. And the hostess sitting across from you, this non-believing person, is watching you eat, and she's thinking, well, I guess he worships idols just like I do. I guess he's into the same thing. The Christian couple sitting next to you, the people from the church that haven't read the letter from Paul yet, they think, I can't believe he's eating that. What is he doing? They're going to drive home in their car and they're going to talk about you. They're going to be like, that was so awkward. Oh man, it was weird. The juice was dripping down. You know, I mean, that's not a win for anybody at the table except you. And you might have a heart attack. No, it's not a win. It's not a win for anybody except you. It's not a win for your neighbors. It's not a win for the people in your orbit. In fact, it potentially puts an obstacle or a stumbling block between the people in your orbit and Jesus. Listen, don't put up dumb barriers between people and Jesus just because you can. Don't do that. Now, I realize that you're not going to make everybody happy. That's totally impossible. Somewhere along the way, you're going to do something offensive, and it's going to bother somebody else. That's the way things go in our world, and it's a sin-broken world. That's going to happen. But here's the teaching. Do everything you can. Do everything in your power to make the thing that offends somebody, to make sure that's not a dumb thing. That's not just like all about you exercising your rights, living free. Make sure that you can, to think about the people around you because you love them and you care about them and you want them to see the love of Jesus in you first and foremost. That's the thing you want most. You don't want them to see, you know, you as some person who can just fly off the handle and act however you want because you got the right to do so. Think about the people around you. My neighbor, and I'm gonna change his name because I don't want you to know his name. His name's Vern. Not his real name. He lives on the block, one block up from me, and Vern he's an old guy. He's an old guy. He goes to bed about 7 o'clock at night. He does not like loud noises. He just doesn't. It bothers him. And when I talk to Vern, he typically will talk about who the loudest neighbor is. So I just want you to understand, okay? Behind Vern is another neighbor and another house. And that house sold recently, I think in the last maybe 18 months or so, 2 years. When the person who bought the house behind Vern's house bought that house, he came over and he knocked on Vern's door and he said, hey, I just want you to know that I bought this house so that Christian bands who come to town will have a place to stay when they come in town and they do their concerts. Okay? Now, I've talked to Vern about Jesus, and actually Vern and I have been fishing together, and we've talked about the Lord some, and I don't think Vern is yet a follower of Jesus. I'm praying that he will be. I'm praying that he'll come to Christ. But Vern, you know, heard this and he said, "Great, that's fantastic. No, whatever, you know." And so then what happened was, you know, bands started to come and stay there, and they had parties that went late, and Vern doesn't like loud noises, and he certainly doesn't connect. Maybe belligerent living or crazy wild living with what Christians should do. And so Vern was explaining this to me recently, that this is the people who come behind him. And I know that Vern's kind of a curmudgeon. But what he sees are a bunch of Christians who are up to no good and making it hard for him to sleep. That's what he sees. He's not feeling the love in that relationship. And here's the thing. There's a really dumb barrier between him and the love of Jesus. There's a barrier there. Paul's instruction here is beautiful. It's beautiful. He says, eat and drink for the glory of God. Use your freedom, and when you use your freedom, glorify God in that. Be thankful. Recognize that every good gift is from God. Steak and wine or whatever it might be, that's glorifying to God. But put your liberty to eat and drink aside if it's best for the people around you. You can glorify God by eating and drinking. You can also glorify God by putting your right to do so aside. Out of love. This kind of goodness, this kind of sacrifice is what Paul hopes and believes will actually draw people to Jesus. When it comes to the freedom that you and I have in Jesus, we need to think through the impact it'll have on the people in our orbit. Love motivates us. It motivates us to set aside our liberty, because setting aside our liberty is actually best for the folks around us. The place we started, I said, the freedom God gives you isn't mainly about you living well. It's about helping other people live well. And that's our target. That's our objective when it comes to using our freedom. As believers, Jesus has given us all sorts of freedoms. It's not a sin to have a beer. You are at liberty to post your personal opinions on Facebook. You have freedom. You have freedom to wear what you want to wear, to buy the clothes that you want to buy. Some of you ladies, you really want to wear cute clothes. You want to wear clothes you like. And you feel actually a little bit bad. You feel a little bit guilty sometimes, a little bit unspiritual if you do that. And here's... understand this. Paul's being super clear. Don't. You're free. You're free. But, don't abuse your freedom. Don't use your freedom to hurt other people. It's not always best to exercise your freedom. When it becomes harmful, we actually need to stop and say, wait a minute, I actually need to let go of what I have the freedom to do in the name of love. I want to do what's best for other people. It can actually care for the people in our orbit to choose not to have a drink, to choose not to post your personal opinion on Facebook, to choose not to wear the thing that you feel like wearing. And I realize this is a really difficult talk for people who think in black and white. Some of you are black and white thinkers, and you're like, man, this is great. I don't know what I'm going to do with this talk. It's just, where's the list? God, can you provide a list? That would be much more helpful. That would be easier. Here's the deal on that, guys. Jesus does not want to produce a bunch of list followers. He wants to produce a bunch of lovers. That's our call. That's who Jesus is, and it's who Jesus wants us to be. He wants you and I to see others. He actually wants us to see the people in our orbit. And then he wants us to think about their needs and then to put them ahead of ourselves. Some of you are pretty impulsive about acting on your freedoms. Some of you, it's like you feel it and then you do it, you know? And you got some verses here that are like, hey, look, eat and drink for the glory of God. Woohoo, you know? Jesus' challenge to you today is to actually see the people around you, to see them, to open up your eyes and to realize that when you do something, when you act out in freedom, you're not the only person like that knows that happened. People are taking you in constantly. Did you know that? People are watching you. People are feeling you. They're feeling your impact. They're absorbing you all the time. They're taking you in. And so for some of us, it's asking God to open our eyes. God, help me to see the people around me. Help me to see their needs. Help me to realize that the people that are around me aren't just filling space. They're people too, and they're interpreting me. They're taking you in. The question is, what do you want them to take in? Do you want them to take in the sacrificial love of Jesus, this Savior who has loved you so well that love is just dumping out on them to other people? Or do they see something other than that? Do they see a person who's kind of maybe a little bit narcissistic, impulsive? This is where Jesus wants to speak to your heart today. One way that we develop this muscle or this awareness of other people around us is actually to imitate people who love Jesus and live sacrificially. That's a way that we actually develop this kind of a heart, this sort of love. Paul says, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He says this twice in the book of 1 Corinthians as well, and this is the second time he says it. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. There are people around you who actually do this well, who actually put others first well, and they think about what they're going to do before they do it, and they actually, there are others aware. For some, it's apparent. A mom or a dad who stays home with her or his children, that's a pretty others aware person. You talk for 5 minutes to somebody who stays home with their kids, and it's a constant laying down your rights to benefit somebody else. Learn from that. Teachers. Man, school teachers, I'm telling you what, that's a laying aside of your rights to maybe a better paycheck or your right to your own time, your right to space, and you actually put that aside and you sacrifice for the good of all these little people who run around and pick their noses and bite ankles and yell at each other and give you colds. It sucks, right? But do you see that? I put my freedom aside. There are people in our midst here, in your life group, that are better at this than you, that have this heart, and you can learn from them. Paul says, imitate those who are good at this. Identify somebody who's sacrificial. Watch them. Learn from them. See, we want to be the kind of church that puts our freedoms aside to benefit other people. You know those kind of churches, they're out there. You know those kind of churches that it seems like, and Christians and churches, we know people like this. They seem hell-bent on protecting their rights. That's not what we're going for, Mosaic. It's not what we're going for. We're going for the kind of church that Paul is talking about at the end of 1 Corinthians 10. We want to do good for many that many might be saved. Helping other people live well means helping them find their wellness in Jesus and in Jesus alone. That's what this is all about. That's what we're here for. That's what we're doing. That's why we want to do good in our city, and we want to serve people. And to hear the stories about the life groups that are serving was really encouraging. I was in a conversation last night. I was at an auction, at a school auction, with some people. You sit at these things, and you don't really know the people sitting at the table. I didn't know the people at the table. And, you know, I'm a people person. I'm pretty good talking to people that I don't know, and I say weird things, but I don't really care. And it's like we're going back and forth, and it's fine, and everybody's having fun, and then always, this always happens. It always happens. When they find out you're a pastor, you know, what do? I'm a pastor, and it's just like a total buzzkill. It's just like, you know? Every time. Unless you find that really strange person in Portland who actually goes to church and they're like, really? That's so cool, you know? And that happens like every 5 years. I say I'm a pastor, and it kind of, you know, the reins, you know, they stop saying the F word. And then, and then I said, they said, where do you go? Where are you a pastor? And I said, I'm at Mosaic. Oh, Mosaic. And the smile comes back on their face. I've heard about that church. I know somebody that used to go there, or somebody that goes there. I've seen what you've done at a school or something. That makes me proud. That makes me think, okay, we're doing some things right, but we got some room to grow. We've got some room. We can't rest on, hey, we've helped some schools, so therefore, you know, no. We want to continue to do good. We actually want to grow in our capacity to do good, to be generous. One of the places where we're really praying, and some of our leaders, Kim and Matt and Connor, are working on how we as a church can join in with other churches that are helping refugees that are coming to our city. How can we do good? And not just to do good, to make somebody feel good about themselves, but to do good, to do what Paul said. We want to become all things to all people, to do good for the many so that many can be saved. That's our heart. That's our desire. That's why it's so important for us to be thinking about the people in our orbit and the impact that we're having on them. So we're going to transition into a time of communion. We're going to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. And here's what this opportunity affords us. It gives you an opportunity to reflect a little bit. What is your meat? What is your meat that you maybe feel the freedom to eat? What is that thing in your life that you actually need to actually put that aside, that freedom aside for the benefit of the people around you? To actually reflect on that, and as you reflect, to take a piece of bread and to dip it in juice and to remember that that's exactly what Jesus did for you, that he took his rights, his right to be God, his right to stop all the people that were trying to crucify him, all these soldiers and these Romans and these Jews who were yelling at him and these people who were furious. He could have just stopped the whole thing. He had the right to do so. He had the freedom to do so. But instead, he freely died. He laid his freedom aside to die for us. How is it that he's calling you to lay your freedom aside? How is it that he's calling you to actually not only receive his forgiveness, but to receive power from him to live the way that he lived? So that's what we're going to do, and we're going to sing some songs and just respond to the sacrificial love of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus, you're invited to this table. If you haven't given your life to Christ, you can do that today. Ask him to be your Savior, to forgive your sin, to be your new King. And then you too can come to this table and celebrate his sacrificial love for you.